So I'm going to talk a little bit about the German Revolution. A lot of people are probably already making a face because often we don't think of the Germans in that way, you know, compared to the Russian Revolution or the French Revolution. Indeed, Lenin once joked that the Germans would never have a real revolution because they would line up to buy tickets first. But they did, in fact, have a real revolution. It was about 100 years ago and just a couple months ago. So I was at the centenary events last fall in Germany. It was a very, very eerie atmosphere because this was a century since the end of the war and this huge moment where democracy had broken through and knocked away the monarchy and created a whole new system. And that system, to some degree, has a bad rap. This is the Weimar Republic. But I want to take a moment to think about all the ways that normal people rose up and made history. So if you look at the situation in the fall of 1918, Germany is in a very bad way. They've been fighting a grotesque industrial war for, at that point, about 51 months unendingly, almost 2 million of them dead, three times that many wounded and maimed in the most horrible ways you could possibly imagine. Starvation is looming in the streets. There are huge bread lines in German cities like Hamburg and Berlin, and angry women who reach the front and there's no bread, and riots break out and they're beating up the police. The social situation is definitely coming unglued. And the situation at the front is getting worse and worse and worse. By October, essentially, the military high command and the Kaiser realize the game is up and they scramble to reform. They put out this guy named Prince Max von Baden, who's supposed to convince people this new chancellor is, you know, sort of a Democrat. They're hoping the Allies will let them out of the war on better terms if they look like a democracy. And that could have maybe been the end of the story, but then things take a very radical turn. So the Navy, without really talking to anyone, decides that they do not want to give up their precious toy. And so they decide to order the Navy on October 20th to go on a suicide mission. And the sailors in Kiel and Wilmershof and other places say, nope, not doing that, rise up and overthrow their officers. In these places, in places like Kiel, form sailors, workers, and soldiers' councils. So there's this spontaneous explosion of democracy that, of course, was to a certain degree inspired by some of what they had seen in Russia. And Russia loomed very large in the minds of everybody in these events. So then they leave their bases and begin marching towards the cities and towards Berlin, especially. At this point, the Kaiser freaks. He wants to actually send out the army to crush them and hit them with sabers. His own officers say, the game is up. It's over. And you need to get out of here right now. In Berlin itself, as the revolution is percolating up, peoples around the SPD, this is the socialists, people like Friedrich Ebert, Philipp Scheidemann, Rosa Luxemburg, the socialists in Berlin, with Max von Baden's approval, declare a republic. And the Kaiser wasn't consulted on this. They spontaneously announce, we are democracy, the monarchy is over, and we are getting out of this horrible war. The Kaiser has to flee. They roll him in from Belgium into the Netherlands. He's actually knighting people on the platform as he's leaving. This new government, you know, the situation is chaotic, but they do hold an election just a little bit later in January. And in that election, the parties, so the socialists, the left liberals, and the center party of the Catholics, that coalition gets 76% of the vote. This was a massive endorsement of reform, revolution, and an end of the monarchy. And in that election, about 83% of people turned out. And this was the first time women had voted, so the suffrage had doubled. They had dropped the suffrage age to 20, so this was a huge groundswell that, you know, essentially was validating what had happened the last year and making democracy real for them. So that new state, it comes to be called the Weimar Republic. You know, it's not smooth sailing. They face all kinds of challenges. The food situation has not improved. The British blockade isn't lifted because they want them to sign the treaty. So they face challenges from both the far left and the far right. In early 1919, there's an uprising of so-called Spartacists who feel the revolution hasn't gone far enough. And the only way they put that down is by actually aligning with, I'm just going to call them right-wing death squads. They're called Freikorps that help them put this down. But then the Freikorps turn on them and try to overthrow them, in turn replace them with a right-wing dictatorship. And in the middle of all that, they actually manage to craft one of the most progressive constitutions that's ever existed. You know, people fault it for in some ways being perhaps too democratic because it was based on proportional representation and Weimar votes really did sort of fragment. People fault it for having, it did have some emergency powers in it because, you know, they were so panicked at the level of chaos that they were seeing in the late war repeating itself, and they wanted mechanisms to address that. But, you know, in terms of giving women the right to vote, in terms of the suffrage it created, in terms of how democratic it was, in terms of the welfare benefits it guaranteed, it was incredibly progressive for that era. And Weimar democracy, despite all those early challenges, and they just kept coming, you know, Hitler rises up against them in 23, they managed to survive all of that and reach a period of relative stability that, you know, it had its problems, and we view it as sort of an antechamber to Nazism. But I think the Weimar Republic, this was one of those creative, innovative, amazing times, probably in the history of the world in a lot of ways. If you don't believe me, just watch Cabaret, but anyway, which, of course, is the sort of the that's about late Weimar.
Was it progressive out of necessity?
That's an interesting question, because the pressure coming from below in many ways was quite progressive, or regressive, because the right in Weimar was quite active too. But there was tremendous pressure to pay out more benefits, to have plebiscites on things. There was a whole ugly argument about taking all the nobles' property away. So there were some really radical undercurrents. In many ways, the SPD, I think, in some ways was putting a dampener on that. And I don't, you know, credit where credit is due. They really were worried about the ship sinking. They were worried about a second revolution. But there were a lot of times and in a lot of ways that Ebert and Scheidemann, in ways that I completely understand, really were trying to put the brakes on the speed of change. They really didn't want to alienate the aristocracy. They didn't want to alienate the army. They were really hoping, you know, we think of them as moderates. They were hoping to integrate, well, I'll just call the right in the system. But a lot of people wanted it swept away. So I think that radicalism in many ways was coming from below. And then, of course, examples abroad, because in Russia, things had gone so much further than they went in Germany, which was both a specter that terrified the right and, interestingly, also terrified the moderates, because they worried about being swept away by something much more radical that more closely resembled Bolshevism.
In the history of democracy, looking at the long view, if you were to take one thing from this era, what would it be in your building block of democracy?
You know, I think you could say this about nearly any of the examples, but I'm going to just go ahead and use it for this one. Ordinary people paying attention to events and standing up matters. Because, you know, I could tell you this and that about the Kaiser said, Ludendorff says, the Allies say, but ultimately what really pushed things over the edge, what washed the monarchy away, what really truly ended the war immediately rather than some sort of drawn-out bloodbath extending into 1919 was ordinary men and women, young and old, standing up and rejecting the war, rejecting the state that in their mind had brought catastrophe down on them, and they weren't content to just yell about it. They literally got up and took to their feet and swarmed, and that was the end of that.